Welcome to the Fabric Podcast and our conversation, Relationships That Work. Find resources to share these conversations with people in your life at fabricmpls.com and share your own thoughts there or by finding us on social media at fabricmpls.
Hi, everybody. Greg Meyer with Fabric Minneapolis here. Yes, it is week 11 of Fabric Under Quarantine. Things are beginning to ease up, but we are not over the peak yet here in Minnesota. So while trying to be church when we can't physically be together is far from satisfying, it is something. And we need to be working together, or should I say working apart, so that we can keep one another healthy. That's important, and it's something we can all do. So let's be Fabric this virtual way for now. And by the way, if you're listening or watching this and you think what you are hearing is something that would be helpful to someone else, please pass it along to them and give us a like, follow this channel, and leave a comment while you're at it as well. We'd really appreciate it. You see, Fabric is all about creating meaningful community around conversations that matter and doing it in a three-stranded way. I realize that the meaningful community is a little bit strained right now, but if you do want to connect, we have a Sunday Zoom gathering at 11 a.m. Central Time. We'd love to have you join us. So just go to our website. You'll find the information you need there. And we have groups that meet every day of the week. So let us know if you want to get connected. Geography is not something that can keep us apart right now while we're virtual. That's one of the blessings we've got. Okay, so that's the meaningful community. We also focus on conversations that matter. Well, your relationships matter. And we're digging into that wonderful and that problematic part of your life and my life right now. This is week 5, so go back and catch the rest of this series if you're just jumping in right now. And as for the three-stranded way, well, our name refers to that. This fabric that we are is the fabric we are all woven into, each of us, with the strands of our true selves and of others, and then that third strand, you know, the one that is bigger and beyond and around all that is. A lot of people use a shorthand name, God, to refer to that strand. But if you're like the many people who find God talk co-opted and compromised, well, maybe the third strand can give you a little more space to envision it and make it feel real for you. So life is all about weaving these three strands of our lives together. And that's what we are all about. So relationships at work. We've been talking about this part of our lives that we can't live without and that simultaneously gives us pains in our hearts and in our necks. We've been trying to keep the fact that all relationships, including good, even great ones, are off track a lot of the time. What makes them good isn't that they never get off track, but that we find ways to get back on track. So these weeks aren't about the things you should be doing so that you can get all the bad and unhealthy and unhelpful stuff out of your relationships, but it's focusing on the stuff inside you so that you can get back on track when you have gotten off. Today, I want to talk to you about your EBA. If that sounds like some sort of financial instrument to you, you're not far off. EBA stands for Emotional Bank Account. We all have one. In fact, you have one for every relationship that you are in. And account statements, they're sent out every time you come into contact with that other person in the relationship. And it's delivered to your gut. You feel the health of the relationship, the balance on the account, right in the pit of your stomach. I first heard about emotional bank accounts from Stephen Covey in his book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families. I heard about this a long time ago, and it changed my perception of my relationships forever. It didn't take away all of my problems. I'm still not the perfect dad, husband, friend, or coworker. Just ask the people in my life. Yeah, actually, don't ask them, please. But it did give me the insight I needed to go back to the messes I'd created and to try to repair the damage. And sometimes it gave me enough insight to not mess things up that I would have otherwise. Understanding your relationships is important. Now, you probably know the word repent from the Bible. Not the friendliest word in the Bible. Most people equate it with being guilty and told that they should confess and change their sinful ways. Probably not a helpful way to understand it. Probably not what the Bible is trying to get at. The word that's used in the New Testament, which is the era of Jesus and the early church, what it actually means is change of mind or to think differently. That was the point. Repenting is about re-understanding who you are in the world and what your actions actually mean. It isn't about obeying rules, but, well, let me use the analogy of our name, Fabric.
realizing that your wovenness into all things and letting that self-awareness guide your way of being in the future. Understanding your emotional bank account is exactly that kind of waking up to loving God, the third strand, self, and others. And if you dig into it, you'll see how so much of what Jesus was trying to show us and the early church was trying to embody was about exactly that. It was not about correct theological beliefs or behaving the right way. So emotional bank accounts, here's how they work. It's just like your debit card, or if you're old school, your checking account, right? You make withdrawals and you make deposits. Withdrawals are when you do something that depletes a relationship. Everything from losing your temper, forgetting a birthday, getting caught in a lie, to coming home late for dinner. Deposits are when you do something that strengthens a relationship. Helping someone out, investing time with someone, making a sincere compliment, paying attention, listening, asking thoughtful questions. I mean, you get it, all right? Now, as I talked about that, I talked about those withdrawals and deposits, the word trust may have popped in your head, even though I didn't say it. And the reason is that this is all about trust. One could say that withdrawals erode trust in your relationship and deposits build trust. Last week, when I was talking about your circle of concern and your circle of influence, I said that trust is the grease that allows the gears of a relationship to turn. Today's talk about emotional bank accounts is going to explore how we earn that trust. Trust is not just the grease of relationships. Trust is the currency of your relationships. I don't care what kind of relationship it is. Parent-child, life partner, significant other, fellow worker, friend, or parole officer. If you don't trust each other, there is no relationship. The balance in your emotional bank account is a measure of the trust that you have for one another. And the goal is that your balance is greater than zero, right? When it is negative, so is your relationship. When it is zero or close, you'd better be careful. And when your deposits have been greater than your withdrawals, then you've got money in the bank and you're enjoying a working and a functional relationship. Keep it up. Keep making more deposits than withdrawals. Relationships are better that way for everybody. Now that seems so simple, doesn't it? I mean, like, I got that. Great. Okay, we'll see you next week. Go do it. Yeah, all that were that easy. I mean, it is that simple, but there are a lot more subtleties to be aware of, as you well know from the complicated relationships that you've been in for your whole life. First of all, there are account fees. Yeah, even when you haven't been making withdrawals, your emotional bank account balance slowly goes down, just like a leaky bucket. That means there is no such thing as letting a relationship coast. If it's coasting, it's only because it's going downhill. Not what you want. So here is a relationship remember forever line. If you aren't working to build up your relationship, it's falling apart. Face it, there is no such thing as status quo in relationships. They are always either getting better or they're getting worse. A couple of other emotional bank account basics. Not making a withdrawal is not the same as making a deposit, but not making a deposit is the same as making a withdrawal. Now that may not seem fair, but that's how it works. Let me say it again in relationship terms to make sure you get it. Just because you came home from work when you were supposed to, i.e. you didn't make a withdrawal, it doesn't mean that you earned a big credit for it. You made a deposit. But when you don't say thank you to the person who got to report to you on time, or who made you dinner, or you fail to ask your coworker how they're doing for a couple days in a row, that is, you are failing to make simple small deposits, it ends up being a withdrawal, a hit on the relationship. You get it? Withdrawals happen a lot easier than deposits do. They're automatic. Deposits, not so much. So, withdrawals, pretty simple. You and I are probably both experts on them already because we spent our lives making them. But we're often not aware of them when we are making them. But even so, we know what they are, particularly when other people are making them towards us. Okay, that's withdrawals. Deposits, not as simple. So here are a few relational banking facts of life relating to making deposits. This is, by the way, the legal fine print that you were supposed to read but didn't when you signed on to all those relationships you're in. And the number one of them is this. When you are overdrawn and you make a deposit, it doesn't mean that you will get credit for it. If you're $100 in debt, you make a $10 deposit, you're still overdrawn, right? Think about it this way. If you've shown up late for every meeting for the last year, and then one day you're on time and you bring donuts, well, it's appreciated, but everyone still assumes that you're going to be late next time. Remember, it's the trust concept. You did the right thing that time, but you still haven't proven that you're trustworthy. This is important, folks, and it's hard because you maybe have made a complete change of heart. You may be highly determined to change something about the way that you communicate or appreciate others, and you're trying so hard to live according to that, but yet it seems like you get no recognition for all of your efforts. It takes time. And emotional bank accounts are harder to change the momentum of than monetary bank accounts. So stick with it. It's still the right thing to do. Number two, big deposits raise eyebrows, not account balances. Yeah, you can't have undermined your relationship for years and then make it all up with one grand gesture. You can't have been a checked out parent for years and then, because you feel guilty, spring for the big Disney vacation and think you're in the black now. It doesn't work that way. In fact, it is more likely that your huge effort is going to feel like a distraction, making everybody suspicious of what your real motives are. Your consistent inattention is the norm, not that extravagant one-off gift. Why would anyone believe it? Why would anyone trust it? Simple, small, consistent deposits have much more impact and create more trust. Okay, words are most often not deposits, but excuses for not making deposits. Yeah, despite your best intentions, your words are going to be taken as excuses for withdrawals, but it won't erase them, and they certainly won't be taken as actual deposits. So don't try to explain your way out of something, and don't think that those words are going to take the place of actually doing something. The possible exception to that, which we'll be talking about in a couple of minutes, are those two simple words, "I'm sorry." Okay, so that brings us to number four, and that is, meaningful deposits come from within you and are done for you. Now, this is a hard lesson. How I work is that I'm tempted to give something to someone to make up to pay for something that I did or that I was, hoping that it will change what they think. But people are a lot smarter than that. What changes the balance in your emotional bank accounts are not things that you give people, but simple, believable expressions of who you are or who you are becoming. People can sniff out the difference between a gesture that's intended to convince them of something and an honest expression of who you really are. So do the things that you do because it's important for you to do them for your own integrity. That means that meaningful deposits involve vulnerability and honesty. The openness of expressions of your real self are a building block of trust. That's also why a generous gift may be appreciated, but for most people, the fact that it is something external from you doesn't change the balance in your account. Your money isn't actually perceived as a sacrificial gift. That doesn't mean that gifts aren't nice or even important, but gift giving is only meaningful in the context of generous self-giving. Let me tell you the story about two friends who had worked long and hard to create a small business that grew and gradually employed quite a few other people. After a couple of years, it seemed to one, we'll call her Grace, that the other was trying to tip the scales to her own control and exclude or diminish Grace's input. Little is said until a huge divide had developed between the two of them. But by this point, it was all anger and accusation, not understanding and cooperation. Grace accusing her partner of trying to push her out of the company, and the other saying that Grace hadn't been putting in enough effort into running things. She had to do all the work herself. Yeah, it was an ugly and a mean conversation. The kind of stuff was said that you don't just take back, and it isn't forgotten. Silence and resentment were building. Both had consulted lawyers to explore their options. Then one day, after not sleeping most of the night because of all the anxiety, Grace realized that while she didn't understand her partner's decisions or motives, she didn't think her partner was actually a bad person. And that made her admit to herself that there must be something grounding her partner's actions. Maybe her partner was truly seeing things differently than she was. They did have different personalities and communication and problem-solving styles, after all. They talked about that a lot when they were newly together. They thought it was a plus back then. So she decided that night that even though they had been growing apart from each other for a long time, she owed it to her friend and to their business and to herself to try to see if they couldn't grow back together. She knew that rebuilding the relationship was more important than insisting that she was right, and as a result, losing everything that they had. That morning, Grace sat down and started writing all the good things that she knew about her friend. She wanted to create a new narrative that could take the place of the angry and resentful one that she had developed. She also started reading about repairing broken relationships, and she learned about this concept that we're talking about today, emotional bank accounts, and she felt it fit their situation perfectly. After all, they had both broken trust with each other and incurred an enormous emotional debt with one another. She had to admit that if she was someone else looking in, she wouldn't like the person that she had become in their relationship. Her instinct was to call a meeting and tell her friend all that she discovered and explain it all to her. But her better judgment told her that words were not going to work and she was going to have to practice it. And she was going to have to be patient and persistent and expect to feel like she was opening the door to more disparagement than progress for some time. To help, she connected with a few friends who had nothing to do with the business and confided in them and asked them to support her and hold her accountable to the changes she was committing to. In line with the emotional bank account idea, she resolved to make 5 deposits in her friend's account every day and no withdrawals. The deposits were to be simple ones, ones that she knew were important to her friend, even though they maybe seemed unimportant to her. And as expected, she did it for several weeks as best she could without noticing any changes in the relationship. It was hard. The old triggering and habits had been well ingrained over the past year or so, but she kept at it. At first, she felt like she was forcing herself to do these deposits, but they gradually became easier, and she could see what to do, and she was starting to see her friend in a new light. After several weeks, when she brought a cup of coffee in for her friend one morning because she knew her friend had a tough day ahead, her friend stopped and looked at her and said, "What's going on? You've been doing all sorts of strange things lately. Why the coffee? And thank you, by the way. I needed it this morning, but didn't have time to stop." That opened the door for Grace to say, "You know, our problem has made me take a closer look at myself, and I didn't look like what I saw. I want to be the friend and the partner that I once was." That caused her friend to sit back and to tell her that she really missed their friendship too. She didn't feel she was able to handle the business all alone and didn't know what to do. She was overwhelmed and she was lonely. They talked for several hours that morning, even though neither of them had the time. Yeah, they didn't iron out all their problems, but they did see past some of the big walls that they had built up so that they couldn't actually see each other. This was new for them. And they resolved to continue meeting and talking on a regular basis to reclaim what they'd had. They put dates on the calendar to make sure that they did it. Okay, so that's a fictional story, sort of. I mean, it's really kind of my story, my life's many stories, all compressed and compiled into one single story with the circumstances and the names changed. The hurts and the hopes in it are so familiar to me that it is painful and hopeful for me to tell it. I imagine that the scenario is familiar to you in many ways as well. But did you hear the self-awareness that was at work in there as Grace realized what was happening and how she recognized that she was part of the problem? Did you hear how her conscience came into play as she recognized that the way she was trying to win at this wasn't right or helpful? Grace was also able to recall the destination of her relationship with her friend, so she had a vision for where they wanted to go in their relationship. She also used the pause button to break her own conditioned responses that were only continuing to cement the enmity between her and her friend. And when she paused, she then used her imagination to rethink what would help her to move back on course with a friend. And then she used her independent will to make herself do it, including getting support and accountability from others. Finally, she realized that her friend's behavior was in her circle of concern, not in her circle of influence. She couldn't change what her friend was going to be doing, but she could change what she was doing. That was in her circle of influence. So that is where she started. And she wasn't doing this only to make her friend change. She was doing it to be the person that she wanted to be. And she started being responsible for her emotional bank account with her friend, determining to make 5 daily deposits and no withdrawals in order to build up the trust in their relationship. You know, these are small changes that we are all capable of. They do require awareness and willingness to confront things that we don't like to know about ourselves and the effort to do things that feel very hard, but they usually end up lifting weights off of our shoulders that we had no idea we'd been carrying around. And that feels really good. So here's my challenge to you. Pick a relationship, one that's important to you, and resolve to make deposits and no withdrawals every day for a week. You're not going to do it perfectly, but don't be discouraged by that. You're going to learn a lot anyway. At the end of the week, I want you to take some time to assess what has happened. Not whether you got credit for being such a great person or not, but how it changed you and your perception of that other person. If you're in a Fabric group or you have your own supportive group of friends, use them to help you by supporting and holding you accountable. Maybe encourage each of them to do the same thing so that you are all in this together and you're learning together. Now, I didn't say that you had to do 5 deposits because you may not have that much surface area with that person, especially during our COVID-19 season. And it may feel a little creepy to be sneaking all those little nice things in there all the time. But give yourself a number, a big enough one that it stretches you, and then try to live up to it. So, if you're going to be making these deposits, I want to talk for just a minute about the different kinds of deposits that you can make. Okay? One is trust. Offer a little more trust than you think they deserve. Observe healthy boundaries. I mean, don't do something that's going to endanger you or someone else, all right? Don't be foolish in that way, but risk a little more trust than you have in the past. That's going to put a few bucks in your account with that person. Another is listening. So simple. Take time to listen deeply. Listen and ask questions to understand, not to figure out how you can insert your story. Be slow to speak, to comment, and certainly slow to advise. Another is kindness. Simple, believable, considerate, no strings attached efforts that reflect the forms of kindness that they appreciate, not that you appreciate. Also, say, "I'm sorry" when there's a hurt that needs healing. Say it sooner rather than later. That really does make a difference. And learn to say it every time there's a hurt, whether you think it was your fault or not. Do that rather than sweeping the hurt under the rug thinking, oh, they're going to understand. You know, what they're going to understand is that sometimes you don't take responsibility for yourself. And by the way, the words are just, "I'm sorry," not "I'm sorry, but." No buts. "I'm sorry, but" is just a tricky way of pretend humility that is actually saying that this isn't my fault and I shouldn't have to be sorry. It's really someone else's or something else's fault. Another is forgiveness. Forgiveness isn't just saying those words, "I forgive you." In fact, those words can often come off as a very manipulative thing to another person. No, what forgiveness is releasing you and someone else from the control that the offense has over you. It creates a change inside of you so that you are free to be the person that you want to be for that person, and it releases the other person to be the person that they intend to be for you. This is something that happens inside you, but it will change what happens between you. This is tough stuff. If you want to learn more about forgiveness, go back to our series from September 2019, Learning the F Word. It'll help you figure this out. Another deposit to keep in mind as we're trying to make these in each other's lives every day is making and keeping promises. Generally, what that means is under-promise and over-deliver. We tend to do the exact opposite. We promise too much too fast, and then we don't come through. We under-deliver. And then we make excuses. We get defensive for it, which just creates withdrawal after withdrawal after withdrawal from our accounts. You know, there are a few things that are more disappointing than making this promise of a great big deposit and then the consequent withdrawal because you weren't able to keep it. Just be careful about the promises you make. And when you do make a promise, keep it. Okay, the last is this. Speak their love language, not yours. I mentioned earlier that the acts of kindness that we give one another should be ones that the other person values, not ones that we value. Dr. Gary Chapman's New York Times bestseller, The 5 Love Languages, is all about this. That book is not perfect by any means, but it does help us understand why we each respond to different kinds of deposits. He writes about the different languages of physical touch, of quality time, of acts of service, of words of affirmation, and receiving gifts. While we all respond to each of them, we do not respond to them equally. And when we aren't aware of the language of the other person, we tend to express our care for them in our own language, which we may not even be aware of because we just assume that's what all people enjoy. Newsflash, they don't. Okay, so speaking your language might work with the other person if you are lucky enough to have them have the same language that you do, or it might not work at all, and it might seem like a total mystery as to why it doesn't. So just Google the five love languages, and you're going to find a quizzer to help you identify your own. Invite the other significant people in your life to do the same and have some fun talking about that. Groups, you might find that this is a really fun conversation and a helpful conversation for you to have as well. Okay, long ago, Jesus was asked what was the most important teaching that existed. And he answered with something that we repeat often. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Folks, that's relationships. It's not about being perfect. It's about committing to coming back to what you know there is to love about yourself, about one another, and about that which this woven fabric of existence is all about, God. Keep making those deposits in your emotional bank accounts and try to limit the withdrawals. There's no such thing as having too much trust stashed away in those relationships. It will make your and everyone else's lives more like they could be. So thanks for caring so much about your relationships. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks for listening. Keep this conversation going with the people in your life. Share this podcast and resources. If you're looking to support this work financially, go to fabricmpls.com/give. A 5-star rating and review will also help others find us. Thanks again.